Good morning. Thanks for joining us for our Good Friday service today. I've been monitoring our feed, and it's amazing to see how people are joining us from congregations all over Canada, all over North America, and even other parts of the world. So we are so blessed by your presence today, and we are together not in physical presence, but in spirit, of course. The great Bible commentator, William Barclay, describes a tragic event that took place early in young Jesus' life. When Jesus was somewhere around the age of 10 or 11, a zealot by the name of Judas the Galilean led a rebellion against Rome. He raided the Roman armory at Sepphoris, which was Mary's hometown. It was only about 4 miles from Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, and as might be expected, the Roman vengeance was swift and it was violent. Sepphoris was burned to the ground and its inhabitants were sold then into slavery. And 2,000 rebels were crucified on crosses, which were set in a line along one of the main roads as a warning to anyone who might be thinking of following in their example. It was a clear message: don't mess with Rome. When Jesus spoke about his up-and-coming crucifixion, he and his disciples had a pretty clear picture in their minds what he was talking about. As horrific as it sounds to us, this was a fairly common punishment in that day. The cross was not only painful, but it was a symbol of deep shame to Jew and Gentile alike. To the Jews especially, it was the worst form of humiliation possible. Under Mosaic law, anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. It says so in the book of Deuteronomy. Even a century before Jesus hung on his cross, the famous Roman senator and philosopher Cicero had this to say about it. He wrote, "It is the most cruel and shameful of all punishments. Let it never come near the body of a Roman citizen." John's description of crucifixion, like the other three Gospels, doesn't give us a lot of detail. Perhaps because it is too much to bear dwelling on for them. Our text today says, "So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull," which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. "There," says John, "they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them." As the senator and philosopher Cicero said, crucifixion was a cruel and it was a horrible way to die. It was one of the most torturous forms of execution ever devised. And after a brutal scourging or beating, which most did not even survive, the victim was forced to carry their own crossbeam to the site of their execution. At least a distance of about a mile for Jesus, a man would walk ahead of the condemned person carrying a placard on which were written the charges that had brought this poor wretch to such a ghastly and deplorable condition. This placard, which would be nailed to the convict's cross once they reached the place of execution, served as a solemn warning to others not to commit the same crime. John says that Jesus carried his own cross. Not the whole cross, as we often see depicted today, probably just the crossbeam that I mentioned earlier. The upright portion was already in the ground and waiting for him at Golgotha. The other gospel writers report that the soldiers forced a man named Simon of Cyrene to bear Jesus' cross. I think that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about Simon because they want us to know how weak Jesus was from the mistreatment and the beatings that he had received. It was a miracle at this point that Jesus was able to stand at all. And I think that John leaves out the part of Simon because he needs us to focus on the fact that Jesus alone carried the burden of our sin all the way to the rest of the cross that was waiting for him. What Jesus carried on his shoulders that day weighed a lot more than a wooden crossbeam. Heavy as that was, and as weak as he was, it was more than we can imagine. When they reached the place of the skull, soldiers stripped Jesus naked and made him lie down with his arms resting on the crossbeam, where they proceeded to nail him to it. The crossbeam was then hoisted up and fastened to the upright. And his two feet were forced together, and they were nailed to the cross with a single nail. And then everyone stood, and they watched him die. That day, the image of the cross was associated with Roman oppression. Its only purpose is concerned with suffering and pain and death. The cross was a sign of the worst torture that one could possibly suffer. It was a symbol of shame and humiliation. It was a curse as much as it was an instrument of torture. Yet our Jesus willingly accepts the cross. He willingly chooses to die a condemned criminal's death. He willingly accepts the humiliation, the ridicule and hate, the pain and the suffering that came with dying on the cross. What do we think? What do we picture when we see the cross today? Why do we place the cross in our churches? Why do we place them on top of our churches for all to see? Why do we wear them around our necks? Why do we place them at the scene of fatal car accidents and on our grave sites? When I was preparing this message, I began to feel nervous that now, in this day, our social indifference and apathy has changed that perspective for many of us. Have we become so accustomed to the image of the cross that adorns everything from TV wrestlers' entrance capes to the heavily diamond-laden chain wrapped around the neck of Victoria's local drug dealers, that we have forgotten its true purpose, its message for us? That this was designed and abused for the brutal deaths of many, including the one and only perfect being that ever walked this earth as a man. That we alone, that humanity, we were the ones to introduce and inflict this subhuman death on the very Messiah that came to save us. I was stricken and weeping this week, knowing that we acknowledge it so flippantly, that we do not dwell on the reality of Jesus' death except maybe only on this day, on the day that he hung from it, struggling for his final breath. And then God spoke through his word, and he comforted me. As ridiculous as that sounds, God comforted me about his death through torture. Hear what Jesus' disciple Peter has to say about the cross. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Yes, before Jesus was crucified, and to those who do not yet know him as their Lord, the cross is a symbol of suffering and shame. Immediately after his crucifixion, it became a symbol of despair, hopelessness, and even deeper shame. The disciples and his followers had abandoned Jesus. They had betrayed him. They had denied him. They had placed all their hope in him, and now he was dead. For 3 days, they lived in complete and utter hopelessness and despair. But unbeknownst to those present at the crucifixion, something else happened on the cross. Something beyond comprehension takes place. The cross that day changed from a symbol of Roman authority to one of divine mercy. He changes the cross from a symbol of death and hopelessness into a symbol of life, of eternal life, of hope and eternal hope. Today we remember and acknowledge the unfathomable evil that is present in the world and in ourselves. That we are capable of taking a man, let alone the perfect Lamb of God, and we strip him of all comfort, beat and lash him, any will and strength stripped from him, force him to carry the vehicle of his own death to the place of his expiration, and we spit on him while he painfully fades into the next world. In part, today is a story about that hopelessness. Today, however, is also a story of God's answer with hope. You and I have the privilege and the blessing of knowing what really happens on the cross. When we do not make the mistake of separating the God of the Trinity into separate beings, we can avoid viewing the scene of the crucifixion of God looming over his Son, allowing his death to take place. But instead, we truthfully understand that God himself took on what was deserving only of us. That the Father loves us so much that he lowered himself into our reality and our affliction and purposefully walked towards this end from his first steps on the ground that we inhabit. We are blessed to know what really happens on the cross. God, our God, a God of infinite love, of infinite mercy, a perfect Father, a perfect Son, triumph over death and sin by willingly giving up his life. When we look now upon the cross, today or any other day, we should never again see a symbol of curse or shame. Because there is no shame in Jesus Christ. There is only victory, living hope. A stingless death which should not frighten a single follower of God who willingly bore every failing that we fall short in and paid the price of our debt in full today. And why I will never again roll my eyes or sigh exasperated at another sinner brandishing the cross in his rap video or on the back of his motorcycle gang's leather cut. Because the God who bore my sin and died for me did so for all. Did so for them. The Roman cross, which has been a tool of pain and suffering, a tool of evil and hopelessness, became the cross of Jesus Christ. Roman no more. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The cross, once a symbol of suffering and shame and death, has now become a reminder that Satan and death have no power over us. Remember that our hope is a living hope because we have a living God and a Savior in heaven. What we inherit and are justified by Jesus' victory over evil and darkness and destruction and death, Jesus' victory is our victory. During these dark days of history, we must never forget to keep our eyes focused on the cross. We must never forget the meaning of the cross. Although events and logic of this world tell us to lose hope, to panic, to despair, no. We've got the cross to remind us that we have hope. We have a living hope. School shootings, church shootings, war, pandemic. All these things going on around us can make us feel hopeless, overwhelmed, desperate. But the cross gives us hope. The cross gives us faith, faith to go on, faith that new life will rise out of any ashes. The cross is a promise from God that he loves us, that he will go to any length for us, that he is with us, even in the face of terrible evil and of suffering, especially then. Let's pray. Praise be to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your great mercy in giving us birth into new life and a new hope by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to you, God our Father, for an inheritance that is kept for us in heaven, inheritance that can never spoil or fade. Praise be to you, God, our Father. For the protection of your power, which is ours through faith until salvation comes at the end of time. Praise be to you, God our Father. Father, to you be all praise and glory and honor through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died for us on the cross this day, and in whose name we shall now and forever pray. And will all of you who share a living faith with me say, Amen.